train, but no train was engine. The break out of the the chief of her line, from some of your northern deep struggles. Who knows nothing break out on your divine? From sweet to the earth today was her name. The hunt of the patches are to achieve her heavenly relation. There has set her in and blessed her God has wanted her. A lambkin in peace, but a lion in war. The pride of her kindred, the heroine grew. Her grandsire, old Odin, triumphantly tore. Where shall provoke you in countless showers? With image of Fatia, a time she was fought to feed her fair flocks by her green rustling corn. But she played the woods where her favorite wrought, her darling amusements, the hounds and the hawk. Long quiet she remained till heaven was here. A flight of old eagles from Adria's strand. There to dead church that her for many long years. They laughed in the air and they plundered the land. The princess were mother and horror they cried. They ravished and ruined the world beside. She took to her hills and her arrows would fly. The day the invaders, they swear that they died. The camel on savage disturbed her repose. The tumult, the strife, the rebellion and strife, the hope, the unbearing, at last she arose, and brought the mad ones of their hopes and his life. The Anglian lions, the terror of France, of throwing in sanguine the sweet silver blood, but tossed by the bright Caledonian land, he learned the sea and his own native word. The fell-hearted ravens went from the north, the scourge of the sea and the dread of the shore. The wild Scandinavian bore a ship o'er, the wanton and carnage and wallowing gore. O'er countries and kingdoms the fury prevailed, no arts could appease and no arms could repel. But brave Caledonia in vain they assailed, at last welcome witness and long to tell. But bold, independent, unconquered and free, her bright course of glory forever shall run. For brave Caledonia and mortal must be, how good a throne you wear, the queen of the sun. Rectangle, triangle, the figure we will choose, be afraid of chance and all time is the base. But brave Caledonia's the high part of news, the never she'll match them and match them always.
Hello. This is William Fink, and this is the Christagania European Fellowship Forum.
Robert Burns can't take me far enough away from what I saw in Philadelphia this past weekend. I spent the weekend in southeastern Pennsylvania at the home of a friend and frequent Christogenia Forum denizen, if I could put it that way. We went to, I toured the University of Pennsylvania's Archaeology Museum, and I was quite disappointed, really, in the lack of depth of the exhibits there. It seems as if the exhibits there were installed in the days of Leonard Woolley in the 1920s and 30s, and that they haven't really been improved on since. The main feature, though, in the main hall was the scene was all Chinese, which was, I don't know how long it's been that way, but it was quite fitting that we seem to have erected the idols of our conquerors in some of the revered halls of our educational institutions, that this was... Asians are now a very dominant ethnic group in Philadelphia, and there were many instances of white people with Asians on their arms or on the arms of Asians all over the city, and Chinatown has gotten quite large, and so I guess it's only evident of the demise of our own culture, or the belittlement, I should say, of our own culture, that the Chinese presence in Philadelphia is so large, even in the museum. The I took a couple of hundred pictures in the museum. It's the same old artifacts that I've been seeing for years in archaeology magazines, but it's nice to have my own pictures of them. Some of them came out good, and some of them came out a little fuzzy. It was hard to get a decent focus quite often because of the glass and the camera wanting to focus on scratches or dust on the glass rather than on the object I was trying to capture in a picture. But a lot of the pictures came out good, and they'll be placed on Christiania soon. The exhibits haven't been improved in 50 years, though. It that's the sense that you get touring that museum. It's a shame that it's it ceased to glow, and the exhibits that are on display that I thought they reflected a great lack of depth, that they seem to be the spoils of an era past and a time of learning which we no longer participate in. Some of the newer exhibits, like the Silk Road exhibit, that the exhibits were missing. That they were there's an entire section of the museum dedicated to Persia and Sogdiana and Bactria and the Tarim Basin and some of the they're called improperly called the Tarim Basin mummies because they were well preserved bodies and remains of what is apparently to me our Tocharian and Scythian ancestors. Those forebears, that those exhibits are all missing. They were replaced with pictures of exhibits, and you could probably do better on the internet in examining the past than you can at the University of Pennsylvania Museum of Archaeology. I was quite disappointed. The pictures that I have will hopefully this month appear on Christogenia in a page that's dedicated to my trip to that museum. That was Sunday we spent at the museum, and Monday we spent it at the plaza and parkways in Old Philadelphia, in the Old Town, and Independence Hall. And it seems to me that the Jews, having taken over America, are actually attempting to rewrite American history to make it, to exacerbate the role of Jews and of Negroes in the founding of this nation. The Independence Hall tour guide, and I hope to go back there soon and record his tour. I wish I had recorded it from the beginning, and because I didn't recorded from the beginning. I lost interest in recording the later part of it. The tour guide and the spiel, and that's an appropriate word, because I swear it was written by a Jew, and he may have been one. But the tour guide and his spiel were absolutely reflected an absolutely false view of the founding of this nation. It was replete with lies. It was he had the nerve to stand up there and say that Pennsylvania, the colony, was founded by William Penn in quest of religious freedom for Christians, Jews, and Muslims. It was a bold-faced lie. It's like history is being rewritten to accommodate diversity and multiculturalism. And it's they're not only lying and propagandizing the present, they're lying and propagandizing about the past. And you would think that Jews and Negroes were the vanguard of the revolution. I had to take a picture of that. They had a painting, a rather famous painting, probably a reproduction, right? And hanging in the Independence Hall of the signing of the Declaration of Independence or the creation of the Declaration of Independence. It's not really the signing, that happened later. But And there were all white faces, and I had to get a picture of it before they started repainting some of the faces in yellow and brown. It was absolutely incredible. There was a large Jewish presence in the city, and especially in the museums, that there are Holocaust memorials in Philadelphia and an incredibly large Jewish museum. And to enter the Jewish museum, you had to consent to a body search. And I took pictures of the signs, a search of your persons and belongings, and couldn't even bring in a bag that was so large. And it was like, I'm sure you could get into a German concentration camp, you know, or out of a German concentration camp easier than you could have gotten into this museum, it seemed to me. And the same thing with Independence Hall. Independence Hall, the tyranny that we now call a government, has made a mockery of the ideals of liberty which this country were founded on. There's only one way into the area. There's only one way out. There are cops all over the place. There is a tent-like structure that one must pass through before entering the compound that the Independence Hall sits on, and in it there are four or five law enforcement officers of one sort or another, and you have to undergo their purview before you pass through, and it's a mockery of liberty. It's incredible. It's every sign that this nation is now a tyranny. I just don't see a bunch of white people running around with bombs in their camera bags ready to blow something up. It's crazy. So that was my weekend, and I hope to get back. I'm going to post a few articles related to the weekend on Christigenia or related websites over the next couple of weeks, And I hope to get back to Independence Hall soon because I really want a recording. Okay, I'm probably going to have to patch this recording together because my TeamSpeak just crashed as I was winding that up. But that's okay. I'm going to unmute the Europeans. If anybody else would like to speak, please speak up. Hello, Taya. How are we doing?
Hello. Nice to hear you and your account of your interesting weekend.
That's the first time that my TeamSpeak actually just disappeared as I was looking at it. I didn't click on anything. It just my software just disappeared and signed me off. So I'll have maybe two recordings. I don't even know if I just got if it would save what I just said. I don't know. It's odd. That was a first for the software. It simply disappeared. I was looking at it, and it was gone. It crashed. It crashed again. Well, I don't know if I'm going to have a good recording out of this program, but it crashed again. I'm going to bring it up on my laptop just in case it crashes again.
Well, maybe they're zipping you.
Well, this has never happened to TeamSpeak before. It's never happened to the software.
I'm not convinced, Bill, that over here it's a good thing to record this program. Recent events, things are looking pretty dire for free speech. And even though this is private and personal, it's a bit dangerous to have it recorded.
What can't be done is they can't really match the locations of individuals to voices on the recording or the nicknames on the recording.
Am I attributing them with too much technology?
Yes.
Oh, right, okay.
They can't. My server log lasts for 100 lines, and then it's gone, and it's not recoverable. So usually that's not more than the last 5 or 6 hours in my log.
Oh, right. Okay.
I don't think that there's any other way to... I think you're giving them too much credit.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't want to do that. I don't want to be seem like I'm complacent, but I don't think they deserve all that credit. That they can't. That they have no real way of knowing who comes here and who doesn't. That a day or two later, right?
Okay. Fine.
Yeah. They can kill our body, but they can't. They can't take away the seed Christ in us.
They do whatever they want.
They love freedom. Their freedom. So do we.
What is going on over there? Why don't you explain it? These recent developments to us, or these that they're really a continuation or a growth of things that have been transpiring for years, but.
Yeah,
they are. I mean, people probably abroad don't realize the extent to which all our sovereignty has been handed over to the European Union. And now, every day, more and more powers are being fairly quietly ceded to this unelected entity. And we are represented by MEPs, members of the European Parliament. Mm-hmm. And they've always had full immunity. They can do anything. They can steal, they can plunder, they can do all sorts. And because of their immunity. But just recently, one particular MEP spoke out about immigration and I'll quote, the invasion of our land and the destruction of values.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had his immunity removed, and they are talking about him standing trial and facing. He'd already been fined about I don't know 5 or 10,000 euros a few years ago, and then the court eventually threw that out, and now again they're talking about him appearing before some European court again. So, I mean, this is an MEP. It's not Joe Bloggs, who has no rights at all. So I think we've just got to use a modicum of common sense, that's all.
Well, right, but I think that people are going to have to be forced to learn to stand up for their rights.
You got to start speaking up.
You can't stand up for them in prison.
Well, I understand, but it's not just one or two of us. It's the entire nation has to learn. It's people are going to have to be jolted to awareness through one way or another.
Well, I don't intend to sit rotting in prison while they wake them up to reality.
Yeah. Well, leave it on that.
I mean, a couple of years ago, some BNP members, too, were leafleting in Leeds. And they were simply talking about drawing attention to the Danish cartoon situation. That was all. And they actually got they actually got something like 4.5 years in the local prison, for distributing what was seen to be insightful, literature. Now, not a lot's reported about that, but little ones are being kicked off left, right, and centre.
what we have to do is, I would like to know more about those cases so that I can report, so that I can put them on my website.
Yeah,
so that I can post them, so I can try to make people aware of that.
Okay.
There was another young girl over in England where she was raped, 13 years old, walking home from school by this black guy.
Yeah.
And I'm really surprised they said, you know, he was black, 5'6", short, kinky hair, curly hair.
But they don't usually give any racial description.
No.
Unless it's white.
Yeah. But, a lot of that stuff, was when these people come into your country, like I saw it when I was younger, that this all starts. And I'm sure this has been going on.
Well, I just posted an article that I actually obtained last month. I finally posted it to the front page of the Saxon Messenger, and it's about Sarah Coit, a young white liberal from Connecticut who probably invited her fate because she was living with somebody who was named Raul Barrera,
mm-hmm.
and he became jealous and killed her, beat her to death.
Mm-hmm.
Stabbed her to death. The thing being done is they can't really match the locations of individuals to voices on the recording or the nicknames on the recording.
Mm.
Am I attributing them with too much technology?
Yes.
Oh, right. Okay.
But they can't. My server log lasts for 100 lines, and then it's gone, and it's not recoverable.
Okay.
So usually that's not more than the last 5 or 6 hours in my log.
Oh, right. Okay.
I don't think that there's any other way to. I think you're giving them too much credit.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't want to do that.
I don't want to be to seem like I'm complacent, but I don't think they deserve all that. Credit that they can't, that they have no real way of knowing who comes here and who doesn't a day or two later, right?
Okay, fine.
Yeah. They can kill our body, but they can't take away the seed Christ in us.
Well, that's true.
They do whatever they want. You know, they love freedom, their freedom. So do we.
Well, what is going on over there? Why don't you explain it? These recent developments to us, or these they're really a continuation or a growth of things that have been transpiring for years. But
yeah,
they are. I mean, people probably abroad don't realize the extent to which all our sovereignty has been handed over to the European Union. And now, every day, more and more powers are being very quietly ceded to this unelected entity. And we are represented by MEPs, members of the European Parliament. And they've always had full immunity. They can do anything. They can steal, they can plunder, they can do all sorts. And they're raided because of their immunity. But just recently, one particular MEP spoke out about immigration and I'll quote, the invasion of our land and the Distrian values.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had his immunity removed, and they are talking about him standing trial. And facing, he'd already been fined about, I don't know, 5 or 10,000 euros a few years ago. And then the court eventually threw that out. And now again, they're talking about him appearing before some European court again. So, I mean, this is an MEP. It's not Joe Bloggs, who has no rights at all. So I think we've just got to use a modicum of common sense, that's all.
Well, right, but I think that people are going to have to be forced to learn to stand up for their rights.
You got to start speaking up.
You can't stand up for them in prison.
Well, I understand, but it's not just one or two of us. It's the entire nation has to learn. People are going to have to be jolted to awareness through one way or another.
Well, I don't intend to sit rotting in prison while they waken up to reality.
Yeah. Well, leave it on that.
A couple of years ago, some BNP members too were leafleting in Leeds, and they were simply talking about drawing attention to the Danish cartoon situation. That was all, and they actually got something like 4.5 years in the local prison. You know, for distributing what was seen to be insightful, you know, literature. Now, not a lot's reported about that, but you know, little ones are being picked off left, right, and centre.
Right. What we have to do is, I would like to know more about those cases so that I can report, so that I can put them on my website.
Yeah,
so I can post them, so I can try to make people aware of that.
Okay.
There was another young girl over in England there. Well,
we don't.
Where she was raped, 13 years old, walking home from school by this black guy.
Yeah.
And I'm really surprised they said, you know, he was black, 5'6", short, kinky hair, curly hair.
But they don't usually give any racial description.
No.
Unless it's white.
Yeah. But, you know, a lot of that stuff, when these people come into your country, like I saw it when I was younger, this all starts. And I'm sure this has been going on.
Well, I just posted an article that I actually obtained last month. I finally posted it to the front page of the Saxon Messenger, and it's about Sarah Coit, a young white liberal from Connecticut who probably invited her fate because she was living with somebody who was named Raul Barrera,
mm-hmm.
and he became jealous and killed her, beat her to death,
mm-hmm.
stabbed her to death, and...
Has Bill disappeared again?
I'm having no luck whatsoever with this. And he stabbed her to death. And this is a first for me. This has never happened. I'm not running anything extraordinary. Well, he stabbed her to death, and the New York Daily News originally had the picture of the perpetrator in the article, and now it's gone. Well, I have a picture of the perpetrator from the original article, but it's odd the way they suddenly removed his picture from the article. It's really pretty comical. It's sad that this is happening all over white nations, where white women, whether they cohabit with these beasts or not, are being slaughtered by them. They're being raped, they're being killed. It's incredible that we don't see that as an invasion and as an attack on our race.
Yes, yeah. In fact, only this week, a judge in a British court ruled that this illegal immigrant could stay because he had a girlfriend and he had a right to some sort of family life. Now, having a girlfriend doesn't mean you've got a family life. It's absolutely ludicrous. Now we've no way of getting rid of them, even though they may be dangerous. I mean, the very fact that they're here as illegals means that they're criminals.
Yes.
And so the natural Brits are just being surrounded by people who are of a criminal nature. And we had this is a bit extreme because we've not heard of this before, but in Spain end of last week, this guy went into a supermarket with a cleaver and chopped a woman's head off.
Yeah,
and he was a Bulgarian immigrant, but he'd become a vagrant, and only last year he was in a Wales mental institution here, and before that he was in Scotland. So within the European Union, these people, these ne'er-do-wells, can just wander around because there are no borders.
Even the Spanish guy, too, with a rock. His front, smashed his front teeth in and all that. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know
that. Attacked him on the beach. Just ran up to him on the beach down in Spain there, and pow.
Right.
Yeah. Well, what about
British woman in beheaded in supermarket?
Yeah, yeah.
On a Spanish island in Tenerife, island of Tenerife, by a so-called prophet of God.
He was a vagrant, and he'd actually gone into a store hours earlier and said he wanted a big, big knife to kill somebody with. And the guy had sent him packing but didn't report him to the police. And this woman, lovely woman, you know, she's the one who
ends
up dead. She was a grandmother. There's a lovely picture of her daughter's wedding, you know, and she'd been in Tenerife for 10 years, respectable woman. And he just picked on her. And he actually carried the head out of the supermarket as some trophy.
Yeah, real Looney Tune.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And just last week they left this, well, he was a white guy, but he raped a young girl, pedophile, raped a young girl like 10, 12 years ago, got out of prison and murdered two more last week.
Capital
punishment, you gotta have it. You can't send these people, you gotta get them. You gotta hang them high, man, that's it. That's the only way you can protect society. You let them out and then you're gonna whack everybody, so...
Well, you know, there are a lot of ways to address these problems, but they have to consistently be addressed and put on display. And we don't have to talk about the nature of the racial nature of these people as long as we have their names and their pictures. That speaks for itself, right?
Yes,
right.
I know on the Sacred Messenger I call them beasts, but I don't make any specific racial... slurs. I simply call them beasts, and they
because
can call beasts
like
for
that.
A host of reasons. But they prove themselves to be beasts.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no doubt.
Yep, no doubt about it. But I do see them. I see them coming in more new faces here up in Northern Ireland. More new faces.
Yeah.
A couple of them walked in the gym today. I was just getting ready to leave the gym, and he said, I don't know whether they're Pakistani or what, but they're so black, they absolutely look like Pakistani. They have to be fallen angels. I don't even know about angelic. They're just so black. I can't believe how black they are. And they have straight hair. I mean, I've never seen Mexicans. I've been around a lot of Mexicans, but these people,
Pakistanis are not black. So perhaps they're African.
They're so dark.
They must be Africans.
Their hair is straight. Their hair is straight hair. It's not kinky. But these people are so black, they must be from some island somewhere in India or in the middle of the jungle or something.
Yeah.
I've been seeing a lot, a few of them now, and these are all new faces. And I understand they get houses for them here and everything.
Yes, if the benefit system wasn't so generous, they'd be going somewhere else.
Well, they're here. They're here because I don't know if you received that video I had. I had several. Found this one, Anita Cohane. No relation to that Rabbi Mir Cohane, who's dead, thank Yahweh. But she's another one in Germany, a German Jew, who said that they are going to end the white race. She came out and said it. There's not going to be any more Spanish. There's not going to be any more Swedish. There's not going to be any more Portuguese. There's not going to be any more Germans. She said,
yeah, but their tears have just got this motor mouth, haven't they?
Well, this is what happens, see, when they think that they're so strong now.
They're overconfident.
That's what they always do. If you study history and you study the Jews, they're very arrogant people, you know, and they love to be pumped up like they're just so great. But this is how they get sunk. And they're really going to get sunk this time. I mean, if we're not in the latter days, I don't know when. I give up.
Oh, yes. Everything is escalating. It's incredible.
It's moving so fast.
Yeah.
So we just have to have faith, because we already know what the story is, and we know what's going to happen. And all must be fulfilled. It's just that when you know the truth and you see these things, it's really hard not to say a word about it.
Well, I'll be on Oracle Broadcasting Charles Giuliani next Friday at 8 a.m. I don't know how that's going to go, but I'll be there.
Yeah, how long will you be on, do you think?
He has a two-hour program. I don't know how long I'll be on.
Right, okay.
What's his name again, Bill?
Charles Giuliani, just like Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah.
Right. I know he's...
Will you supply a link to it? Or,
yes, I'll try to have an announcement on the front page of Christy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, the day before the program, at least.
And what day are you going on, Bill?
Next Friday.
Friday. Next, let's see. Today is what, the 19th? Next Friday is the 27th.
Yes, the 27th. So that should be interesting.
What's he want to discuss?
Well, he wants to discuss the Bible in general.
That's just my game.
Well, we'll see what's up. I'm going to be myself, right?
Yes. Doc Holliday says, that's just my game.
In the movie, at least.
In the movie, yeah. I found an interesting book my dad had on the Civil War and everything. It was dated back like in 1905 or whatever it was, and that was pretty interesting. A little bit different history than what we have now. General Custer and everything was in it.
I took a swipe at Eli this week and the other date setters, Harold Camping. Yeah, you know, Saturday the world's supposed to end. According to Harold Camping.
Oh, yeah.
Judgment Day is Saturday, and there's billboards up all over the American Midwest.
Where's Jesus going to come now? I want to make sure I get out there and meet him.
It's absolutely ridiculous. I wrote a couple of paragraphs on it. Short ones, maybe about 50 words, 75 words, I don't know. Not much, but enough. That's all we need.
Harold Camping, yeah, let me check it out.
Yeah, he has a lot of money to put billboards up all over the country.
Get everybody all shook up.
Oh, Saturday is over. It's done. I mean, Judgment Day, May 21st, 2011. I think there's some people with this views that get paid to discredit Christianity. I really do.
We can't.
It's incredible.
Well, you know, it says this was going to happen. That people were going to say Christ is coming out in the desert, and he's coming here. I don't believe it all.
Right.
I believe we're close, but I don't know. I just think things got to get a little bit worse first.
Well, I think this year things are getting worse at a faster rate than ever before.
Oh, yes. Right. It like snowballs. Mm-hmm. It snowballs. It the further down the hill the snowball gets, the larger it becomes.
Just like, man, okay. See, I told you, Bill. People are all having their dinner over here and getting. You got to get that out of the way first.
Well, we had to have dinner earlier. Oh, Tilly, you can speak if you'd like. She's typing into bottom there.
Yes, I've been noticing, but. I didn't know why she wasn't talking to us.
Well, maybe she's shy today. She's spoken before, but...
That's right. She's writing. It's good to hear from everybody from all over the place. This is fantastic.
Not true, I tell you.
Shy was no need to be.
You know, amongst friends here.
Well, I might go back. It's absolutely incredible the things that this tour guy said in Independence Hall, and I'm probably hoping to go back just before I go visit my son in June and try to record it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would love to have it to respond to on my website.
But you're right. They are rewriting history, or trying to. And people are so poorly educated, they don't pick up on it.
Well, they've been doing that for a long time.
Mm, they have.
I remember even in school, when I was way back in the 8th grade, they changed the history book. They had, gosh, I can't remember the name of this history book, but it raised so much hell, I should say, pardon my English, but it was just, it was like almost like a communist history for some reason. They finally got rid of it. Because the people, you know, back then, I remember going to school and we said the Pledge of Allegiance, we said prayers to Jesus, and we sang some patriot songs or whatever. And the teachers I had said, anybody didn't like it, step outside, step out in the hall. That's the way they did it. But that was the way I was raised.
Well, those days are gone. Today, if you step out in the hall, it's with your lawyer.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything is attorneys. Can't get anything done unless you go through an attorney.
No, I mean, as soon as you talk, as soon as you raise your voice to somebody, they want to sue you. Men aren't men anymore. That there's no noble character anymore.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, people want compensation for hurt feelings.
Right.
Well, have a couple of generations now that have, brought up on the hippie generation. My dad would say, you had the hippie generation and you had the MTV generation. And that's why Obama, people like that get in office. So. Any farther?
Hello, Chris, are you there?
Hello, yes, I'm here. Just busy formatting some books. So how are you, Bill?
On the couch.
Okay.
Doing great.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody's heard of it. It's a book called Anglo-Israel, the Saxon Race.
Yes, I've heard of it, but I don't remember the details.
Rev. W. H. Paul, it's 1889, I think it was published.
I think Clifton did some criticism of that book. I don't remember if it was good or bad, positive or negative, but he did some criticism of that book recently, didn't he?
I don't know.
Yes, he did. He did about 10 newsletters on it, or at least.
I think that's probably in his one on the British Israelism.
Right, and he wanted to cite a lot of the faults of that book, and I think that they were...
Yes, I mean, there's quite a few faults, but on the other hand, there's a lot of good information in there. Obviously, he sees the Jews as Judah, yet on the other hand, he was reciting what rogues they were, and about.
Well, right, but that still allows them to keep their false identity.
Oh yeah, but I mean, you have to bear in mind they were sort of pioneers in the message, weren't they, in those days.
Merits and shortcomings of British Israel, Pools, Anglo-Israel in PDF. I posted it, I proofread it all, but I'm going to be honest with you on that. So much information comes in and out that I can't remember it all. But I remember some severe shortcomings in W.H. Poole's work, which Clifton helped point out. And it's a shame.
Oh yeah. I mean, there are definitely shortcomings, but then, I mean, you have to sort of glean the good information out of the bad.
Well, right, but the point was that you know, the Israel identity awakening in Britain started out on the right foot with Sharon Turner and the identification of the Germans and English, and they ended up on the wrong foot real quick as soon as certain people got their books in there.
Well, that's when Hine came on the scene, wasn't it?
Right.
And, I mean, he also quotes in this book, I mean, obviously, I haven't read it all. You just see odd bits when you're formatting. But he does quote Bishop Titchcombe, and he was one who pointed out, who included the Germans as being Israel.
It was Anglo-Israel or the British nation, the lost tribes of Israel, that Clifton was criticizing.
Well, the problem with that, that's okay. Hi, Chris. This is Bruce. Yeah, that little leaven puffs up the whole loaf, and everybody puts their umbrella being puffed up for the Jew. All it takes is a little bit of wrong doctrine.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's the same book, because I think he did quite a few. This one's called Anglo-Israel of the Saxon Race, proved to be the lost tribes of Israel, 9 lectures. So I think he did one or two books, whether that's the same one as that Clifton read and you put on up as a PDF.
Right, it seems to be that it might be a different book. Probably the same information from a different perspective or something.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it'd probably be saying the same things, but slightly differently. And he quotes Sharon Turner quite extensively, I've noticed, and also a lot of other people. I mean, I think these old books are quite good because of the bibliography in them, which gives you a clue that other books existed somewhere and try and find them, you know.
Well, I read Sharon Turner's History of the Anglo-Saxons, and Sharon Turner fully recognized the relationship of the German people with the English.
Yeah.
And actually, I read Bede, and Bede fully recognizes the relationship of the German people with the English.
Well,
he calls the German Old Saxons.
Yeah. As far as I can see, I mean, obviously, as I said, I haven't read it all, but I keep coming across where he's quoting about the Germans being Israel, you know. Well, being part of the tribes who came here.
Well, it would be incredulous to envision the English Saxons as Israel and the German Saxons as Huns or Assyrians. That's just ridiculous. It's pure Jewish propaganda.
Yeah. Well, put it this way, I haven't come across anything so far, glanced at, where he says the Germans are not Israel.
Okay.
But, I mean, obviously, I haven't read the book thoroughly right through. You see bits, as you know, when you're formatting, you're busy seeing, rectifying mistakes rather than reading all the context.
It's according to Clifton's Merits and Shortcomings, Part 1, he talks about the identification of Germans as Assyrians, but he doesn't say whether or not he actually got that from Poole.
Well, I haven't seen it in Poole, but that's not to say it's not there.
Right, I'm going to search through some of these real quick.
Honestly, I don't remember that much of them, even though I proofread them. It's just been too long already. So what else is going on?
I was looking on Craigslist and it said, getting raptured Saturday, I'll appropriate your things.
Paul makes a big mistake here where he says that Israel was to be lost and Judah was to be scattered and dispersed but known, and that's simply not true.
Oh, no, he's also said he's got Judah wrong.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's the biggest problem with the British Israel people is that they still cling to that even though it could be so easily disproven.
Another book I've come across, it's quite good. I don't know if you've heard of it, The Day of the Saxon by Homer Lee.
No, I haven't heard of that. Not that I can recall. Was that recently written?
No, I don't see this. I'll find it. If I've got the date there. So it's in this 1911, I think it is, if I'm reading the Latin figures right. Oh, sorry, 1912. MCMXII.
Poole makes a serious error here where he says that he repeats a tale that a lot of people repeat because they don't actually read the Bible, right? That the Assyrians only took the 10 northern tribes and all of Judah was taken to by the Babylonians. Well, which actually flies in the face of the Bible, right?
Half of Judah went into Assyria, huh?
Yeah, well, more than half. That's a huge mistake that a lot of people in identity repeat.
But, I'm going to say, on his opening statement, he's got, which is, as I say, that's what terrible people are, the Jews are, and he quotes, he's got a quote from Fred. I don't know if you've heard this quote from Frederick the Great, said, "Meddle not with those people called Jews, for no man ever touched them and prospered." And they go on to say, "Errors like straws upon the surface flow, he who was searched for pearls was dive below." So, I mean, that's his opening statement about the Jews.
Yes, it was a shame he considered them to be Judah.
Well, I suppose, like people in those days, they were all brainwashed that the Jews were Judah, you know, and with the mistranslations in the King James as well.
Right. Well, I fault even more the people in British Israel today that cling to those bad ideas.
Oh, yeah. And I read when I was up in Morecambe, met up with some BI people, and I got some of their back magazines, and one of them, Michael Clark, was saying that the fig tree was the emblem of Israel, did you believe?
The what was the emblem of Israel?
The fig tree.
Okay.
Well, in fact, it's the emblem of the Jews, isn't it? Symbol of the Jews.
Well, right. It's used in both. It's a symbol that's used in different allegories at diverse times. Oh. And in the New Testament, it's used of the Jews. Yes, it's used of Jerusalem.
Yeah, well, that's the context he was quoting it as meaning Israel.
Right. Well, you can't always take the same allegory that's used throughout the Bible in diverse places and insist that it's talking about the same entity every single time it's used. But in some places, Israel is called after different types of trees. So if Israel's a fig tree, how could it be a terebinth tree? Or an ash tree? Or there are several different trees in different allegories where Israel is compared.
Oh, and also the olive tree.
Yes. People could end up in all sorts of trouble when they take an allegory too far. That New Testament fig tree has nothing to do with Israel.
It was just a nation of Jerusalem, right?
Well, that's what it represents in the New Testament, where Christ cursed the fig tree and it withered, and then sometime later he says, "Remember the fig tree," referring back to that withered fig tree. When it shoots forth its boughs and comes into bloom, then you know that the harvest is near. And that's what's going on now. That withered fig tree has shot forth its branches.
And then you got it where Christ called Zacchaeus down from the fig tree, which would be, because he was a tax collector, would be symbolic of him calling him out of the Edomite Jewish system.
Right. Right. The Jews were tax farmers. That they were they're still tax farmers today.
Although they mistranslated it as a sycamore tree, it's in fact a fig tree.
Yes, that's from the Greek word suke, which is a fig, right? S-U-K-A would be a S-U-K-A.
Well, I think it came from the botanical one, instead of the edible fig, which is Ficus carica. I think the bitter fig was Ficus sycamorum, and was the word sycamore there. They assumed it was a sycamore.
Yeah, that's noted in several of the commentaries, the differences between the types of fig tree.
Yeah. I mean, could be referred to as a bad fig, you know, the bitter one. You know, when it's two baskets, you know, it's translated as bad figs, but it could be the figs of the bitter fig rather than the edible fig.
Well, Paul wisely chose the olive tree as his example in Romans chapter 11, right?
Coming through. Here we go. Good.
That's why they have the symbol of the two olives branches on the United Nations, you know, symbolic of enslaving us.
Yeah, they all have plans, don't they, to do all this and that. I don't think it's
going to happen. Well, I mean, we are sort of slaves at the moment, but not as totally as they would like.
Yeah, they, I see and hear people all the way from Russia, white people from Russia, all the way to to the United States. A lot of people waking up. A lot of people are fed up, especially with this multiculturalism.
They're
everybody's throat. It's really, it's really causing. I don't. I would have thought that they would be more subtle than this, you know, and try to be a little more discreet. But now they're just blatant, coming right out with it, and a lot of people I talk to over here, they're kind of like in the amazement stage. Geez, yeah, I keep seeing these people everywhere, and don't know what's going on. I don't think they're going to get away with the too much stuff up here in the north, because these people are—they take care of business. They don't call the police. They start raping the girls and everything here. Oh.
A lot of people are waking up, and they're waking up and heading right in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
I had words in a discourse of maybe about 10 or 12 short emails this morning. What with the whole group that they're Christian bashers and Paul bashers, and they all claim to despise the enemies of Christ, right? And they're mm-hmm. bashing Christ. And they're
really?
Embracing Muslims and right, it's just horrible.
Mm.
Not realizing that the Muslims are simply a vehicle that the Jews use to destroy Christendom.
They always and, have.
Right.
I
the enemy
know.
Of my enemy is not my friend. It's not. That's a Jewish precept, and it's not true. The only people that we have to care for are our God and His people. That's it. Everybody else is excluded, and it doesn't matter if they're the enemies of our enemies or not.
I wonder if you're a descendant of a white person race mixed too.
Oh, Tilly, you know, the gospel was promised to become a filter for our people. And Yahweh said that He would sift us through the nations where He scattered us and use that as a cleansing process.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to imagine that the Israelites who went into captivity and that were spread amongst, you know, throughout the lands of the Medes and the Persians and the Assyrians, that when they turned around and left those areas and migrated up into Europe, that the tares did not follow them because they were to be sifted through those nations.
Plus, I understand that it goes back 10 generations.
Well, 10 generations is only an idiom that means forever. That's why it says not to the 10th generation, mm-hmm. nay, even forever. Well, which clarifies that.
It's like,
Well, Otilia, that would be contrary to the promises that we have from God, and it would be contrary to the tribal history of our people. If there was one non-white in any one of our tribes 3,000 years ago that was allowed to stay, then we'd all probably be non-white by now.
Yeah. But they'd have been put to death immediately.
Well, right. Well, we have to trust in the promises of God that they were true. And I believe that if you're sure that you're if you're in Europe and you're fairly certain that your ancestry has always been Christian and white, then you have to put your faith in that. And if your family is homogenous, then you probably don't have a whole lot to worry about. If your uncles and your nieces and nephews and your children look like your uncles and aunts and grandparents, that you probably don't have a lot to worry about.
Yep.
That's a good sign of homogeneity.
Yeah.
I tell the young kids that you want to marry somebody that looks like you.
Well, right. And if you have Negro genes in you, it would manifest itself in more ways than just brown eyes in your family. You'd have people with the hair and people with the skin and people with the flat nose bridge and the inch thick lips and right.
Oh yeah, that always comes out.
It would manifest itself in many ways amongst diverse members in your family. But especially since those genes are almost always the dominant genes.
But besides which, these people were in Africa, weren't they? You know, geographically.
Well, yes, they were. They were far away from us.
I mean, the only time, looking back through British history, when we came into contact in the 15, 16, 1700s with anybody like that was with the Barbary pirates, who actually landed and ran off with whole villagers. You know, they took them as white slaves.
Right.
They didn't mix with the ethnic population here. They took them over there.
Yes. They even raided the coasts of Iceland. And took people.
Yes, they did.
As far north as Iceland.
And you know, it remained a problem until about the 1730s, 1740s, that people were actually afraid when they went to sea that they would be captured by the Barbary pirates.
Yes, it was. And a lot of those Barbary pirates were actually Jews.
Yes. And they reckoned over a period of something like from 1500 or just before to the mid-1700s, something like 20 million people were taken captive. Because they really raided the seas and plundered ships.
Right,
amazing.
Right. I've seen articles on it, but it's a repressed history. There's a great history of white slavery in Africa.
There is.
In the Arab lands of Africa, whites being taken there as slaves.
That's right. And they were worked to death. None of them lasted more than a few years. This is why they had to keep going and replenishing.
They pillaged the coasts all the way to Ireland and Britain and beyond. Especially Italy and Sicily and France, but and Spain
was
far beyond that.
That's right. Giles Milton wrote a book about white gold. It was entitled White Gold. And it was about a young British lad who was on, I think, one of his first voyages at the age of 13, 14. And he was taken captive. But he was a very wily kid, and he managed to survive. And he became part of the bodyguard of the Sultan's harem or something, I don't know. And he was there for about 20 years, but he managed, by living on his wits, to actually get back home to Britain. And he was able to tell everybody about what happened out there and how the men and women who were captured didn't last more than a couple of years or so because of the harsh treatment that was meted out to them as slaves. They were always put to hard labour. And in that sort of climate and temperature, that they didn't last very long. So it's a useful book.
Would you do me a favor and send me that in an email or something?
Yeah,
the author and the title.
It's got lots of footnotes in it. It's a very, very useful bit of information to have.
Well, it might be the same. The Barnes Review ran an in-depth article on that about 6 or 8 years ago.
Right.
That I meant to dig out in the past and haven't. The plate's just too full sometimes.
Oh, Tia, hi, this is Bruce. Was his name Captain Wiley? What?
Just a moment. It's within arm's reach. Let me have a look.
Oh, Sillier, I pulled out the Otto mentioned Helfen's The World of the Huns to reply to Gallo Glass today, and I thought I'd have a chance to do it. I may not really have a chance to do it until Sunday, But he sent me a message on Procopius and Priscus, and I thought just to maybe scan that first chapter of that book and send it to him. But I concerning the Huns, I see Procopius as a fairer authority on it than Cassiodorus or Priscus, to be honest. Or Jordanus, too, who's merely copying Priscus and Cassiodorus. I might try to pull the passages on Procopius and his remarks about the Huns, too, one day next week. The story of Thomas Pellon.
Yeah, that was the young man.
Well, we used to, when I worked in law enforcement, we saw a black arrested for rape. If the victim was black, we just asked him why he didn't pay her.
Yeah.
They are arrested very often for raping their own women. But that's part of their culture.
Yeah. Yeah, they like to rape the young ones.
It seems Dominique Strauss-Kahn is in deep trouble, isn't it, over something similar?
Yes, good for him. The Negress made a statement that she didn't know who he was. As if she knew who he was, she would have held out for money instead of reporting him. Now, I'm sure somebody will beat it. I've seen that John Demjanjuk, what was convicted in Germany and sentenced.
Yes.
Which is a pity.
Yeah. But he was the last one they were able to have a go at, wasn't it?
Right. And they worked on him for 20 years.
Yeah.
They tried him in Israel, and he beat the case.
Yeah.
He was found not guilty, amazingly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they tried him in Germany.
Yeah. Well, in Germany, you are not allowed to use the truth as your defense. That's why Ernest Sundel's lawyer is now serving a sentence in prison.
Sylvia Stolz, or Horst...
Yes.
Horst... I can't think of his name. Is it Horst Wessel? No.
I was thinking of Sylvia Stolz.
Okay.
And she was Sundel's lawyer.
Yes, and that's a shame.
Yeah. But something not being able to use the truth as defense. I mean, that's what we've come to in the EU.
Well, Satan is in charge. There's no doubt.
It's
a tyranny. It is a tyranny. In the EU, we're also supposed to have freedom of speech, right? It is one of the planks of
but only as long as you agree to say what they want you to say.
Right, it's incredibly hypocritical. But hypocrisy is the constitution, the real constitution of any Jewish tyranny.
Yes. Yes.
I didn't see Christ calling anybody else hypocrites 8 times in one chapter of Matthew.
That's right. Poor devils.
Yeah, they really hated him. I happened to see a commercial about this new movie that Mel Gibson was coming out. You know, I'm gonna go, but they have him. They got Mel Gibson with this beaver thing on his hand, and he's going around playing this, talking like the beaver's talking. You know. Just really, I think it's very degrading, and he's going for it. And then mentioned him today, deranged, Of course, they don't say anything about Robert Downey Jr. or anything like that, you know. Or any of the other Jewish actors that flip out all the time. But they're all over him.
Well,
he knows him.
If you want to sleep with the devil, well, what can I say?
Yeah, you know, his dad is very, very racial. He knows his... Pretty sure he's he understands Christian identity. His dad does. So does
His dad is a staunch defender of Roman Catholicism.
Yeah.
I heard him. He did a whole program one night with the Subi sisters, the same woman, the Patriot Dames,
uh-huh.
Susan Subi, the woman that interviewed me that I have on the front page of Christogenia.
Yeah. Right.
That program's got to have 10,000 downloads by now. It would be real close. She interviewed Mel Gibson's father one night, and a lot of people were trying to urge me to call in, and I didn't want to be the guy to beat up on Mel Gibson's father, right?
Yeah.
But that's what he deserves.
Racial.
Yeah. Well, that didn't come out in the interview, but he's a staunch defender of pre-Vatican II Roman Catholicism.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's not our answer, right? I mean, that's part of the peace, too. The Pope wears a yarmulke, too. Founders of this nation saw it as popery as worship of a man. And putting a man in place of God. I can't defend Catholicism for any reason.
Yeah. Yeah, he's supposed to have a church there and, Civic Palisade or something like that. I don't know. I don't know how people could stoop that low and let them. Mel Gibson, you know, he doesn't need any of those Jews. He's got enough money he made off movies and everything like that to have to stoop so low like that. You should see. He looks like a real idiot.
Well, it seems to me like he's the organ grinder's new monkey.
Yeah, he is.
They've humbled him.
They refer to him as the deranged. Now I know a guy who put the Talmud Unmasked, the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, and this other book right in his hands, said he was going to read them. So I just, that's what happens when the Jews, if I was him, I'd mouth off.
Well, without Christ, there's no foundation, and without two seed line understanding, there's no understanding of Christ.
He doesn't get it. You're right. You got to believe Christ is Yahweh in the flesh when he came on this earth, and you have to believe in the two seed line. I mean, whenever I hear a minister or anything like that or anybody, they don't have those two things, the basics, then they haven't got it yet. So that's the way I believe it.
So. Well, I've been recording on my laptop with Linux Mint 10 and hasn't acted up yet. This machine, every time I try to record it, the TeamSpeak crashes. I'm going to replace this operating system on this computer, but I won't have a chance for about 3 weeks.
Did you say the Mint was okay, the Linux Mint was okay?
Yeah, I've been recording on that for 30 minutes now.
All right, okay.
And it hasn't crashed yet. Maybe I should keep my mouth shut. I don't know if June was ever really here, but her connection's dropped. I don't know.
Well, she told me she managed to get in, but I think she's having trouble with her microphone. It's very soft. And whether she's got the... Because she hasn't got a USB port. She's got... has to plug into the mic and the air jacks. So whether she got them round the wrong way,
And Dorcas can't get in at all either.
What could be wrong?
Don't know. Dorcas phoned me to say she'd been trying for the last hour.
Wow, that's a shame.
I told her to reboot, and she's rebooted and all sorts of things, but it didn't help.
Here's June now.
Hello, June.
I don't think she can hear you.
Maybe she needs to check her settings and options and her profile details.
Yeah, well, she's not used to going through menus and things.
Because mm-hmm. That Bill showed me how to do that now without rebooting. And works pretty good. Don't have to reboot again. Jeez. You think at my age I know the computers. Too much reading to do.
But when I was up a few days ago in Newcastle, you know, I showed her how to get in, and then she got in by herself. And she was speaking to somebody, Phyllis or some name like that. So why is something not working now, I don't know. Or it could be she's pressed the mute or something by mistake on the... Because there's a small mute button actually on the headset.
Right. Mm-hmm. But this indicates that she has a speaker and a microphone.
Yeah. So, what's happened there, I don't know.
Well, I posted something on the Saxon Messenger that I haven't read, I haven't watched completely yet. It's from Greg Felton, who's an academic in Canada, called The Host and the Parasite. It's an interview that he did. It's a presentation he did for a Canadian office, and he wrote a book of that title. And the book is 3 years old. I just found it for the first time, and it seems to me that certain people can talk about certain things in Canada and not go to prison for it.
I think a lot of people are promoting the common law, because under common law, you can say what you like about anybody.
Well, The Host and the Parasite is actually talking about the Jews and how they've taken over... The United States government, basically, and Canadian government. And I was surprised that he was able to say that. He's been harassed for his statements, but he's still on the street, so to speak, in Canada. I mean, he has a website, GregFelton.com. I'll be looking into
Greg Felton, the university.
I have a link to his website in the article. I just pasted in to TeamSpeak on the Saxon Messenger site. It looks like he gives Canadian political commentary.
Because I think June hasn't got her speak permission, has she? Is that why she can't?
Well, she keeps coming and going, and I can't keep up with her, right? I mean, she could grant it to herself.
Well, she probably wouldn't know. Well, she's about to, I don't know if she can speak now. Are you there, June? No, I don't think so.
Where is Matthew?
He's in Holland.
Oh,
he went there. I think it was last weekend, and he said he'd be away for 2 weeks.
Yes, he did say the last time we were here that he was going to Holland and he wouldn't be here today.
And I think he said he's picking up a new computer, so his connection might be a bit better.
Right, he could use one. I mean, his computer's about 12 years old, isn't it?
Yeah, well, this one's probably only 10 years old.
Wow. Well, anything a little more modern than the one he has might be better.
Yeah.
If it can run Windows XP, even, it would be better.
Yeah. What's Windows 7 like? Is that any good?
Personally, I don't like it because it's overbearing, and I don't like operating systems to try to tell me how I want to work my computer, right? But a lot of people that don't expect as much from their computers, they like it. A lot of people like it. I prefer Linux, but I think Linux is 1,000 times better than any Windows. Except for the little quirks like I get today with TeamSpeak crashing on me every time I try to record. I don't really understand that, but that's never happened before here. In 6 months of using Linux, eight months, I think, of using Linux. I've been using Linux exclusively since last September. So have we kept up with the Matthew programs I've been doing? I guess not.
Yes, of course
I'm still on Revelation, man. Every morning, take an hour.
Well, we've gotten 300 to 400 downloads after a couple of weeks, right? The last one only has, last week's only has 248 so far, but I'm sure it'll be 300 soon.
I think the amount of detail you're going into is very good, and I wouldn't want you to skate over any of these things to try and cram all that information in, or to go faster even, because I think you just about got the speed of delivery right. It's good, and it's at a speed I can follow, and I just think they're very good, and the notes are so helpful. The notes are really helpful. Especially if you're going to annotate your Bible as well, which is what I like to do.
Tomorrow night, well, the podcast I'm hoping will be an annotated version of the Gospels, right? And that's what I'm hoping that the podcasts themselves end up being. It is an annotated Gospel, aside from my translation. Tomorrow, Matthew chapters 6 and 7 are mostly just pedantic. I don't know how many notes I'm going to have. I have some notes already made for Matthew chapter 6, but most of it's simply references to Old Testament scripture. I don't know if you caught on when I did Matthew 5, I tried to, I mean, it should be connected directly to Isaiah, right? The prisoners of Isaiah are the prisoners of the New Testament, right? The people taken off into captivity, the Israelites taken off into captivity, they are the people that Isaiah referred to as prisoners, and they're the people that Christ referred to as prisoners in the New Testament.
Yes.
That's who he came for. They're who he came for. They're all he came for. And that's the point I got to make. That I tried to stress last week with Matthew 5. I don't know if I got that across properly or thoroughly, but I tried.
Well, I thought it was very helpful.
But Matthew, that discourse of Christ in Matthew should connect directly to Isaiah, and it's talking about the same people. There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, it was interesting last week. Oldham came over from England, and we attended Alan Campbell's meeting in, where is that, Craigie, yeah. Correct. That was the first time I'd seen him in, I don't know, almost, 10, 12 years. And here all this time they've been having the meetings and everything, and I've never gotten connected or in touch with them because I wrote him a couple of times and he didn't write me back. I thought well, maybe, he said that he wasn't feeling well at that time, but it was good. Yeah.
Go ahead, Judith.
I think had Alan Campbell recovered?
Yeah, he said he was still wasn't. He was feeling a little bit still under the weather. A little still under the weather, I guess. But he still gave a pretty good sermon. And
he's a very kind man.
Yeah, and he had, I met some nice people there, too.
Yeah, yeah.
How old is Alan Campbell?
I think he's only 59.
I thought he was 59, huh?
I think he's 59.
Why do I have this picture of him being much older?
No,
I did too. I thought so too, but he's not. He's 59. And, he spoke the basic Christian identity message. He didn't go in too much about the Jews and stuff like that. There were a few people that I met after the sermon they've been following the Christian identity, or British Israel, I should say, message for a while. But, it's nice to see people of like mind, over here.
Well, that's wonderful, but I just don't think British Israel does us a whole lot of favors, right? Well, when they invite devils like Yair Davidi and try to claim that the Jews are Judah, if the Jews were Judah, they would never have denied Christ.
Yeah, I got into some discussions before with some people from the British Israel that went to his church too years back, and I didn't see them there, but when it came to, they supported the One Seed Line, I remember back in 2003, because I was in touch with this one guy over there, I can't remember his name now, but he was tied in with Alan Campbell, but, a lot of them like to tone it down, they want to talk about everything else, but when it comes to the Two Seed Line and who the Jews are and everything like that, they don't like to. They're worried about going to jail, I guess. I don't know.
Well, to me, that just fits the definition of lukewarm, right? Well, when they won't talk about it at all, but because they're afraid of what people might think of them.
Of course,
we have to be as sly as serpents and harmless as doves, but that don't mean that we flee from the truth.
Well, there was a couple of men that I met there that they knew what was going on. It was nice talking to him. You know, it's just amazing. I come 6,000 miles over here, and you meet people that think basically exactly like you, think and see what the dangers are and what's going on here and who's behind it. So, a lot of people here, they just want to keep it quiet and not, don't say nothing. Everybody's. Because, the laws and stuff like that, but I don't know. I don't care. What are they going to do to me? Deport me? Want to go back to California? Oh, boy. Don't do that.
True patriotism is always going to be seen as racism by the others, by people that are excluded. Yes.
They come out and say they're going to do away with the white race. They're going to do away with the white race, they said. So, it wasn't even in writing. Now we have it on video. We have it live.
That's a direct violation of the United Nations Convention Against Genocide.
This really gets me. And then I sent you, too, I got this video on that Rabbi Meir Kahane. He was talking about he's talking about the Jews and Jewish religion, and it was very interesting, about 30 minutes, and a lot of people who don't understand about the Jews should watch stuff like this and see what we're up against. And if the white people would know how much these people hate us and how they're trying to destroy us, they would become more aware and do something about it. Or, wake up and stop this influx of this multiculturalism and these immigrants coming in here. These non-white immigrants, I should say. Because these people say that this is what you're going to do, and this is what you're going to live by, and you're going to have to take this. Whether you like it or not, this is what we decided we're going to do But you know what? Don't let the Arab boys marry the Jewish girls that are over in the state of Israel. You know, everything is separate for them. And this Mir Kohen admitted even, well, you don't want these non-Jews to be elected to the, what is it, the Knesset? Or the
Knesset.
What is that?
Knesset.
And he says, because, you know, they'll outvote us and then pretty soon we'll lose the Jewish state. Well, that's exactly what we don't want to happen over in our white countries either.
But those KN words are hard for Canalifornians.
I can say kite pretty good.
Well, that's not a KN word.
I get my wife's name okay. That's it. No. But I mean, this is what really gets me. And I know that, you know, Yahweh is going to, but you know what? To sit and not say anything about this is, I think, is a shame. I just can't.
I don't know how you've been missing it, but I first posted that Annetta Kahane video and interview to the front page of Chris Degenio on February 18th, right? I just put the link in the chat.
Right. Is this the one where he's on Lahain? Oh. He's on the Lahain show?
No, the Annetta Kahane, the woman.
Oh, yes. And also, I sent you that one about Mir Kohen. I think it's like The Eternal Jew that the Germans put out. That when you watch stuff like this, this Mir Kohen comes right out and says, you know, hey, he decided, or the Jews decided to save the Palestinian problem. Well, they can just give them Jordan, he says. Take them out of there, but they're not gonna stay there. This is our land. See? And this is where the Christian identity message to Seedline comes in, because they are not children of the covenant. They have no racial connection, religious connection to the Holy Land. They're not Semites. So, you know, they call you anti-Semitic. I'm not anti-Semitic. I'm not against my own business. See?
Isn't Kahanite? Well, it's interesting in the Gospel of John. John was the only one that scribed the words well, for fear of the Jews. And then I think that's why the Jews really hate the Gospel of John. They hate Paul. They hate Yahshua Christ. They hate the Almighty. They hate his people.
They hate everybody.
That's the reason they really hate the Book of John, because if Yahshua Christ was a Jew, why would they say for fear of the Jews? If they'd be saying his disciples were, or the people were afraid of Joshua. It doesn't say that.
Yes.
It says the Jews.
Right. Yeah, it's and like I was saying, you know, that they coming out and admitting this, I think it's fantastic, because it sure gives us good evidence here to point out to people. I'd like to make DVDs with this as soon as I get my computer working, right? If I could get this thing to make me a DVD, I'd like to take this up to the councils. The city council people, and let them see all this stuff. Just show them. What do you think about that? That's all. What do you think about this? And then you look around your neighborhoods and you see these dark black faces everywhere. When you go into the stores and stuff like that, you go into Tesco's or Asda or whatever, and you start seeing these people. They're everywhere. And they're here because of her. Because of these people. They're coming here to take over. And I saw it when I lived in Southeast LA. We had how many times? Two or three times had to move out of neighborhoods because they got so bad. This is nothing like the trouble they had over here before between the Catholics and the Protestants and all that. This is way worse. Once they get a foothold in, just like they did in England. See, and that's what a lot of people that I speak to over here tell me. Well, I've been to England. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, you're right about that. I saw what happened in England. I was in England, you know, so they get a little taste of it.
Wow. Well, people just won't open their eyes. I mean, they'd rather stay in their football and their beer.
Yeah.
A lot of people...
Not only that, Bill, but some people don't seem to see anything wrong with it. You know, all our advertising, if there are six people on a page, five of them will not be white.
Yes. And you notice now, Tia, if you watch the news, the BBC, they're all khakis and black. You know what I mean? They're not even British. They're not English people.
Some of the presenters, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, they
presenters, yeah.
They've got quite a color on, haven't they?
Yeah. Yes, they do. And it just irks me because the books I used to read about the tall, fair-haired, you know, Englishmen, you know, the sun never set on the empire and conquered the whole world. And you go over there, like I went over to Sheffield that time years back, and it was all burkas, these little scrawny little people running around, these black faces everywhere. It just made me, it sickened me.
Yeah, yeah. At least they tend to stay in their own little areas.
I mean, how long are they going to, the English people and the Irish people down there now and up here in the north, how long are they going to put up with this? Because you're on an island and you got it right in your face here. They just, right in your face. And you can't, like in America, move 1,000 miles, go up to Idaho or somewhere. You got it right in your face. And they are very arrogant about this, too. They're very arrogant.
That's right, but I think each thing that happens is just one more straw on the camel's back, and at some point, you know, the people will turn, their eyes will be opened, but at the moment, their eyes are not opened.
Well, I think over here, because I know how to, like, the blacks and stuff, you know, like they're doing in England, like they do in America, millions of whites get slaughtered every year because of the non-whites, but it'll be interesting to see when they start raping the young girls here, because see, there's the white women walk the streets here all times at night, you know, all times at night, coming home from the pub. There's girls that walk by themselves. I can hear them because we got a black path behind our house here, and I can hear them, you know, going along or talking on their phones, and they're just by themselves.
Well, I'm sure that was the case 10 years ago in Sweden, and Ellen Krantz was just coming home from the pub.
That's right.
Yes. Oh, that's... Boy, that's awful. But, now, there was a... I was walking down the street the other day, and there was two of these... I mean, I don't know where these blacks are... these people were coming from. They look like Satan. Satanists. They're so black. They must have brought a bunch of them in from somewhere and located them here. But there was two of them walking up the street. And when I was coming down the street, and they crossed the street. And I know it wasn't myself that intimidated them. And I didn't even have to turn around to know there must have been some white girl somewhere. There was some. And I looked across the street, and there was these two schoolgirls, about 15 years old, coming down. And, you know, they had to mouth off something to them. They said something to them. And I turned around, I asked them, did they say something to you, or what? They said, well, I don't know, we couldn't understand them. So, you know, they're starting there. So we'll start it over here, too. It'd be interesting to see.
But we're running out of money. We're running out of money, and these people are predators, you know, and when the money goes, they'll be off. I mean, at the moment, with the bankers' bailouts, we've had our own problem with bankers' bailouts. Then we're bailing out Greece. Now we're bailing out Portugal. Then they're talking about a second bailout for Greece. And the Brits, who are not part of the euro, are having to... you know, pay for all that, they're part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think all these things coming together you know, are going to mean that there are going to be massive cutbacks. Well, they're already happening. And these predators will find that there won't be much to predate upon any longer. Mm. And then they'll go somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah, like that Bulgarian.
Yes.
Well, I don't... It's like I said, it's a different story over here. Over here, people don't call the police. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
They sort it out themselves. It'll be interesting to see what happens when they start raping the young girls over here. Like, you know, just like that 13-year-old yesterday being attacked by that black guy. Where was he from? Well, they don't know who he's from. That's right. There was another one I was...
He's from hell. That's where he's from.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually tried to search for that on Google, and I came up with a whole bunch of hits for similar cases, not just one. So, British girl raped in Turkish hotel, October 25th, 2005. British girl in Indy raped by two taxi drivers, December 11th, 2009. British girl 18 in India. British young British girl raped by Muslim gang, October 10th, 2009.
Oh yeah.
Dubai waiter rapes British girl. January 8th, 2010. It's like on and on and on.
And I think many go unreported.
Oh, I'm sure for every one case you hear about, 10 probably go unreported. I'm sure at least 10 go unreported.
I know it really gets me. I just don't understand, where are the men? You know, where are the white men? I mean, how come some of these people don't disappear and stuff? That's what I don't understand.
Danny, Joe the Wanker's a neighbor of yours. Hello, Joe.
Joe 40 ounces.
Joe was a, I'll call him an old friend of Profane's and Bruce's.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. You remember for a few nights ago, but yeah, I've had a few drinks in me, so go ahead.
I guess so. That's okay. You could maybe catch up to us next time or something.
But yeah, I mean, I'm going to help.
It wasn't communion wine, was it, Joe?
No, it wasn't.
That's what you got to tell them when you come on this. You can say, I'm sorry, but I was really doing a lot of communion today, so.
Oh,
I took communion
perfect,
four or five times.
Yeah, okay, well, I consumed a lot of communion wine, and, I'm currently,
I'll see you in the series.
Yeah, exactly. I'm feeling the spirit, I basically came here to talk to Bruce, man, you know, and to the rest of you guys, to see what you think about the impending what they claim to be Judgment Day.
Well, it won't be Saturday, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't believe a word of it.
Yeah. Are you shaved and all ready to go, Joe?
I think that most people get paid to discredit Christianity.
Yeah, exactly. You said it exactly right. I think they're paid to discredit Christianity in general because, you know, they seem to think that we're some kind of Adventist, cultists, which we're not, you know? we really aren't. We're really not. I mean, Judgment Day couldn't come slower for me, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, right. We would like it to be over, and we know we're going to win in the end. But I think we might have a harder time than we think in between now and then.
Okay, here's something for you. Okay, I was baptized Catholic, but I've never been into Christianity in general. Okay, I'm being serious. I'm not trolling. Okay, I've never been into Christianity. Explain.
Well, real Christianity is a racial religion, and all of the white people in Europe came from the people of the Old Testament, the people of the book. The Jews are not the people of the book. They usurped it 2,000 years ago, actually about 2,200 years ago.
Bruce has told me all about that, but the rest of the stuff is kind of hazy for me, you know?
Well, the Irish came from... came by sea from the Phoenicians, and the Phoenicians are the Israelites of the Old Testament.
At one point, we were enslaved by the what were those fucking niggers? Oh, Jesus Christ!
Jesus, Assyrians,
the Babylonians. But they were really black, but they were Egyptians.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we were enslaved at some point.
We've been enslaved as a people a few times in our history.
Yeah, exactly.
But that history is obscured. It's obscured because of our false notions of the Bible.
But do we bitch about it? Do we?
Well, you know, we take it as a judgment from God. And
exactly.
If we're good and moral people, then we don't have that. Then bad things don't happen to us. I mean, as a nation, right?
Nothing. Yeah.
Exactly. And when we embrace the enemies of God, bad things happen to us. There's no doubt.
Exactly. But as biblical scholars, which I'm sure you are, where would you say that I should start in the Bible?
Well, you should read it through once. But read it through with the awareness of who the parties are, right?
Yeah.
There's
yes.
I'll point you. You know, maybe one night when you want to stop in here, I'll point you in the right direction to get a basic overview of the literature.
I'm completely open, man. I mean, really, honestly, I want to learn. You know, I'm not, you know, some kind of atheist fuck trying to, you know, fuck up your shit. I really want to learn, you know?
Yeah. Joe's good, man.
Thanks, Bruce.
Well, okay, if you want to just talk to Bruce, you could go down to the open house and talk all you just want down there. I mean,
oh, come on, man. You know it's not like that.
Well, I mean, if you didn't want to interfere and you wanted to talk to Bruce, you could. That it's always open down there, right?
Yeah,
no, it's all open. No, I want to talk to all you guys because Bruce introduced me to you guys last night, and I find you completely fascinating, to be honest.
Yeah, Joe, I would probably, like Bill said, I identify the Adamic people, Adamic race in the Old Testament from Adam through Seth, and Noah, and Noah's flood, that was in one little place in the world. It wasn't the whole earth. That's important to understand, because that would...
What do you guys... I know this is kind of a troll question, but what do you think of evolution?
Evolution is impossible.
Yeah, I kind of have a lot of trouble believing it myself, and I have a doctorate in journalism, so, you know, so there you go.
Evolution is Jewish.
Joe, we don't look back down our family tree and see a monkey.
Ah, no.
Wait a minute.
Fantastic.
Wait a minute, dude. I thought we came from fish.
Oh, you got it.
And dolphins and stuff like that.
Well, monkeys are in between.
Oh, that's right.
Hey.
All right, I get them mixed up.
Hey, English girl, I'm in Manchester right now.
Are you?
Yes,
I said, the English girl, I'm in Manchester right now.
What, Manchester, England?
Yeah, Manchester in England. That's right.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you sound like you're down south, maybe Essex, maybe...
No, no, Yorkshire.
Yorkshire? Are you kidding me? Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah, no, but that's fantastic, man. That's fantastic that people are in this country and supporting this, you know? It really gives me hope, you know?
Where are you from?
Where am I from originally?
You sound like you got an Irish accent.
Yeah, I'm originally from Belfast.
Ah, I knew it.
Yeah, but I don't consider myself British. I consider myself Irish. There's two parts to that debate, and they're currently going on right now as the Queen's and our own. But I consider myself Irish, and I'm Republican Sinn Féin 100%.
Mm-hmm. You're
Yeah, I'm a Fenian. I'm 100% Fenian.
So what are you doing over in Manchester?
Pardon?
What are you doing over in Manchester?
Well, I'm web designing, and I'm doing jobs for various people. And I'm leeching off of your current disability living alone.
Get those immigrants out!
No, but seriously, no. Mostly web design, you know? I mean, that's what I do for a living. But yeah, I am currently claiming disability living allowance.
You're not required to have to, you know, to inform us all this stuff, but, you know.
No, I'm not required, but I mean, what the fuck are you going to do? I mean, you don't even know who I am.
Mm-hmm. You don't know who we are either.
Well,
exactly.
Hey, Joe, I'm retarded from the Navy, and I have Navy welfare checks.
That's right, Bruce, you were in the Navy, that's right. Yeah.
Hey, Bruce, I forgot to ask you. Where are you right now?
Jacksonville, Florida.
Oh, are you still in Florida, huh? Oh, I thought maybe you'd be maybe in Minnesota or or maybe in Alabama.
No, I drive a truck for a truck company, but they hire so many scrap monsters that I sometimes loads are slow because they have so many squat monsters.
Bruce, listen, will you do me a favor, yeah? And will you check up on Adam Austin? Because I'm kind of worried about him. He hasn't updated his website in months, and I'm kind of worried that he's dead, you know?
Oh.
Yeah. So, he's in Jacksonville, too. So, I mean, I don't know if you know his address, but...
No, I think he lives about a couple miles away from me.
Yeah, if I can get you his address, will you go and check up on him, please? As a favor, please? Because I'm really worried about him, you know?
Yeah, you tried to contact him. He wouldn't respond or anything, huh?
Yeah, no, he hasn't updated his website. He hasn't done fuck all to his website for 3 months or so. I'm really, 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 really fucking worried. You know, so I mean, if I could get his address, would you head over and pay him a visit?
Yeah, I wouldn't. Wouldn't mind doing that. Last time I encountered him, he said he was going to kill me.
Oh, no, no. Ignore him. He acts like that a lot. You know, he likes to get his balls out and act like a faggot, but the truth is, the guy has a heart of gold, you know? And,
yeah.
All you have to do is say the right words, you know? I mean, you know, just basically say that you hate Jews and he'll love you for life, you know? That's pretty much it. But I, to be honest, yeah, Bruce, I wouldn't mention religion to him whatsoever in any way, shape, or form, because he is a complete atheist, and he's really militant about it. So, don't, yeah. That's one.
Yeah, I know a lot of these white nationalists are like that. They ignore the Almighty when it's Yahweh who's pulling their strings, trying to get them to turn around, but they just ignore him.
The atheist, yeah, white nationalists, yeah, well, are like, what does Jews want them to be?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I only woke up to this recently. I mean, I was aware of the Jewish problem for about 4 years, and I only recently woke up to Jesus. So, I mean, you know, as I said, any kind of, you know, how would you say, I don't even know how you say it, but, yeah, any kind of points that you can give me would be great, you know. I mean, really, guys.
Well, I think the Almighty's going to meet you where you're at, Joe, and he's the one that's going to be, but we'll just point the way the best we know how, I think. Because if you're born,
okay,
you're born with that seed,
right,
in you.
Well, yeah, okay. No, not a troll question, okay? But what do you guys think of the Catholic Church? Seriously.
It's part of the beast. It's part of the system. It always has been.
Yeah. That's been pretty much my opinion since birth.
I think that if the Irish, if the English had stayed in the Catholic Church, the Irish probably would have went Protestant, right?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. But the whole thing with the Troubles, it had nothing to do with religion. It just happens that one side is Protestant and one side is Catholic. It has to do with one side wants a united Ireland and the other side wants a separate colony, basically, of the United Kingdom, which is, you know, the six counties you're around, right? So, yeah, that's it.
Well, I really believe that it was the Jews in London that put the English up to oppressing the Irish the way they did. Just like they tried to oppress the Scottish.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's tons of information on that, man. During the famine, Rothschild oh, my God, I could go on for hours. I won't, but Jesus Christ, it's ridiculous the amount of information that's available on the Irish famine and the British and the Jews and so on and so forth. You know, it's ridiculous. So I don't know.
Yeah, then they started flooding in America through the Russian Jews started flooding in with that Freemasonic statue they gave from France, opened up the door so all the putes to come in the country, their vaudeville and entertainment, and they bought up all the news companies. Well, yeah, it's the same plague.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah, but, somebody here was talking about Icelandic women. And, I've been to Iceland in the last 6 months, and, I can tell you they are 100% not Jewish.
I see where the forum is from Iceland, right? He's in Iceland now.
He's in Iceland now?
Yes.
Really?
Where he lives. He's an Icelander.
He just calls himself ICE for short.
Well, maybe I saw it as a tourist ship, but honestly, the Icelandic women that I met were fantastic. They could smoke more, they could drink more than I ever could. Seriously, guys.
I don't know. I think the British are from what I've seen over there, the British are pretty big drinkers too. But I don't know. I think the biggest drinkers I've ever seen was Alaska. Man, those people. Geez.
German women can drink. German women can drink like fuck, man. Seriously.
I don't know if that's one of our better traits, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, German women. Seriously, you need to check that out. And Swedish women, too. I don't know if there's any Swedish people here, but believe me, Swedish women, they drank me under the table. And I'm a really heavy drinker. You know, I drink like 60 units on a good night. You know, so.
Yeah. Well, I just, too much drinking is not good. A couple beers or whatever.
No, it's not good.
It's no good.
Yeah, I know.
Because, you know, the Jews, they like us all drunk and drugged up and everything like that. They like our minds all clouded and messed up like that, you know, and we do, we're white people, and of course, you know, we're the children of Isaac, we're children of laughter. But from what I've seen, all that stuff and the drinking and the drugs and everything like that, just Jewish, promoted by the Jews to destroy us, you know. I mean, there's nothing wrong with drinking. Jesus turned the water into wine. I'm sure he had a few drinks. But,
I'm sure he did.
You know, I don't.
But yeah, it's my only crutch. It's my only crutch. It's drink, and I consume a lot of it on the weekend. You know, maybe.
It's not
maybe.
Because you're Irish, is it?
Come on, enough with the stereotypes already.
Hey, wait a minute. I got a story for you guys. I always got a story.
Go on.
So when I was in California before I came over here, because I'm in Northern Ireland right now, before I came over, I had a.
Which part?
I already texted you and told you where I was at.
Sorry, I didn't get that.
There's
a tab at the bottom of your screen, Joe, that'll have his name in it, right?
Yeah.
And you click on that, you'll be able to read his text.
Oh, awesome. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Sorry.
And anyway, no, that's all right. And anyway, there was these two guys from Belfast, friends that I met through this other buddy of mine from there. So I took them down to this pub down in Costa Mesa. And, you know, they did all their drinking. I said, don't worry, I don't drink, I'll drive and everything. So that really, they really went crazy then. But, I mean, you know, they were having a great time and ever. And it was no big deal. I'll make sure I was going to get them home because I knew their parents and all that. Anyway, we had to walk about two blocks to get to my car, which that was a mistake. I should have got the car and drove it over, but I didn't. And now the Irish have a tendency to like to sing and stuff, you know, when they're coming out of the pubs and all this.
That's
kind of
right,
stuff.
Yeah.
So they start singing, and I'm going, please, you know, it's like almost 2 o'clock in the morning. Don't. And this is in Costa Mesa, the Redondo Beach area, and I said, geez, please, don't bring the cops over because if they see you drunk like this in public, they'll put you in jail, right? So sure enough, we only got another block, and here comes the sheriff, you know, and he jumps out. And,
yep.
And I tried to tell him, hey, look, you know, these guys are just visiting from Ireland. They're going home and, you know, in another day or two. I said, I'm driving. I have them drank, and I'll get them home. So he said he held us up there, and then he called the sheriff, or his sergeant came up in another car. And yep. I heard him tell the sergeant, he said, Sarge, I don't know what to do about this situation. He said, these two boys are from Belfast and up in Ireland, and they're drunk, and what do you want me to do? And he just sat there, and he says, well, who's this other guy? He says, well, hasn't been drinking. He's taking them home. He says, well, you know, it is part of their culture and everything, and he says, just
they're completely retarded, man. I'm telling you, the PSNI, the police service in Northern Ireland are—they're an offshoot of the REA.
No, this was in California.
This was in California.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. You know,
well, that makes much more sense then. That
well,
makes much more sense.
Well, he said it was part of your culture. That's the reason why he let him go. But if I was drunk in public, oh, geez, I'd be click, click. That's all you'd see. Yeah, that's all you'd hear. They'd say, look at your feet. And then the next thing you know, click, click. I'd be off
yeah,
to jail.
Exactly.
But
no,
geez,
no,
I've
been stopped by the CHP. For way less shit than that. They really like to nitpick, you know? And they really don't know what to do when they do find something that's significant. So, yeah, it's pretty common what you went through.
I just thought it was pretty hilarious myself, you know?
They
weren't going to arrest them because it was part of their culture.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny.
It's the best excuse I've ever had, man. I never used that excuse. I was pulled over by the California Highway Patrol about, I don't know, 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, each time I was carrying, well, let's just say over 3 ounces of marijuana. And they were basically trying to question me. And I was stoned, and I couldn't focus on the guy's face. The guy's face was just like, I don't know. It was really weird. And so I was staring at this guy's face like a weirdo for about half an hour. And he eventually let me go, and I swear to God, oh, Jesus, never again, never again, never again, never again. Yeah, fuck that. No, never again.
Sounds like the Jews in our Holocaust. Never again.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does, Bruce, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and then, America is not the America like it was when I was young. And, of course, you know, I haven't been, I was back there. I go back at once a year or once every other year or whatever. I'm from Southern California, and things have really changed there, you know. Just not like it was.
Yeah, well, I've actually lived in Southern California, and believe me, it's a piece of shit. Don't even bother going back, seriously. Don't bother.
Yeah, you have to go down to OC, down the Orange County area, if you want to get into any white people areas.
Yeah, exactly.
Go there, but
Orange County girls, man, don't even get me started.
Yeah, you've been to Huntington Beach, then I see.
Oh yeah, dude, I have. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of Irish guys get their hearts broken when they go to the California beaches, and they can't believe it. Yeah, I lived in up by the Long Beach area for a long time.
I love Long Beach.
And worked in that area.
But Long Beach is full of niggers now.
Yes.
Yeah, it's full of niggers, so I wouldn't even bother, man, at this stage, you know. But yeah, before it used to be really good, you know. I mean, I lived, as you can tell from Max, and I lived in the United States for 9 years. And,
where?
Mostly New York, mostly New York City. But by far the best place I ever stayed was Southern California, easily. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, it's overrun. It's all Mexican now.
Yeah.
Well, it is now. But, I mean, back in, like, 96 to 99, it was good, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. But now, yeah, it's overrun by Mexicans.
Yep.
Yeah,
well, Mexicans, blacks, they got them all there. Jeez, they got everything. Chinese, the whole works. And they're very arrogant too. You know, they're very, very arrogant.
They are. Yeah. I mean, you know, it would be okay if they would work. You know, I mean, like the Chinese, they set up businesses, they work. You know, whatever. I don't care whether you guys agree with me or not, but that's pretty much what they do.
But, well, they're here to conquer, though. They're ultimately here to invade and to take over.
Well,
I agree with that completely.
No, I agree with what you just said completely. But what I'm saying is that when they come over, they set up business and they generate money. That's what
right,
I'm saying.
Right, but they take money out of the white communities by selling
things
to white.
Yes,
and they don't spend that money in white communities.
Correct.
Unless
exactly,
they're buying
exactly
them.
One point, yeah.
Unless they're buying them, which is it's an invasive mentality. And
yeah,
white
exactly,
people don't
right.
see that. Most white people don't see that. When you have a community of 100,000 people in Chinatown, and there's really probably like 2 million people in Chinatown. I mean, I've been to
New
York.
I know. Believe me, I lived in New York City.
well, I grew up there. I grew up in Jersey City, right across the water from New York. I spent a good amount of time in Chinatown and in Little Italy and Greenwich Village, making fun of the faggots and all kinds of stuff.
Greenwich Village is hilarious, man.
Yeah, I used to go there for entertainment on Saturdays with my friends. We used to sit around on a bench
good
and laugh
you,
at the faggots
you.
All day. And the freaks. You know, you have all these Chinese people who are doing business with the outside world, is spending money there, but they're not spending money with the outsiders.
Exactly. We have the same problem in the UK with the Polish. The Polish, they come over here, they work really hard, yeah? But
yeah.
What the trouble is they send the money straight back to fucking home, and they don't put it back into the economy one iota.
Well, that's what the Mexicans and the Chinese do here, and the Chinese are huge on not only drug gangs that are impenetrable, but are on identity theft. They're huge on identity theft.
Yeah, I've heard about that, yeah.
And whites don't see that because it's really not played up in the newspapers.
Yeah. You see, my girlfriend, right, she's the perfect example of an immigrant, right? She's Belgian. She came over here to the UK. She worked for 9 years, okay? She put her money back into the economy. She opened up bank accounts. She saved money for years, yeah? And then she moved over to Ireland. She met me, yeah? And, that's pretty much how it went down. In my opinion, that's how immigrants should behave, you know?
But one thing I have to say, Joe, about the Polish people, at least they're white.
Well, yeah. I mean,
and they're big,
you could argue
too.
That. Yeah.
they're big. Yeah, that's a big race of people, the Poles. Big guy, big blonde, some of them blonde, blue eyes. I mean, you know, big people. And I would put up with these people anytime compared to the stuff that I see walking around the streets here and the baby buggies. And you go up to the doctor, it's loaded with these packies and all this stuff. You know, just unbelievable.
Well, let me put it this way, yeah, okay? You're low on money, okay? It's the end of the month, and you're waiting for your paycheck. You go to the local supermarket, and guess who's there? The Polish security guards, yeah?
Yeah.
Like
in California, the Mexican security guard,
yeah.
I'd rather
have
a Polish security guard than a Mexican security guard.
But if you have a knife, they back off. Immediately. They don't even call the cops. They just back off.
Well, I don't know. I do know that, you know, that the Polish come over here. They do undercut a lot of the wages. But, you know, that's Parliament's fault and Stormont's fault. That's your leader's fault for letting this stuff happen. You know what I mean?
It is, and look.
I mean, look what they've done to the Republic down there. It's nothing but a multicultural black and Indian type of country now. They put black families in every city in the
moved out of Dublin, and believe me, it's full of niggers, and it's full of Muslims, and it's full of, oh, Jesus Christ, Asians.
Amen.
All the way. And I swear to God, man, I'm not telling lies. It's full of niggers, full of Muslims, full of Asians. End of story.
Hey, have you heard about the Democratic Right?
The Democratic Right in what respect?
And it's called the Democratic Right in Southern Ireland.
You mean the political movement? I have heard a little bit about it. Yeah, mm-hmm. I have heard a little bit about it. And
they're very anti-
to a certain degree.
They're very anti-
But I support Sinn Féin more. Because they want a united Ireland. And I don't want the fucking British occupying six counties in my country.
Wait a minute. The thing about it is, the only problem with that is a lot of those people support these people coming over here. They support these dark races and everything
that,
like that.
That's the trouble, yeah. No, I understand completely what you're saying.
Because when I first came over to this country, I don't know how many times the people said, well, you're American, yeah. Well, look at you Americans. What do you think about what you did to the black people? What do you think about the Indians and all this kind of stuff? What you whites did to the Indians. And I said, well, you're just lucky I didn't live in those days, because there wouldn't be any more Indians left, because my God said that when he brings us into a country, to run all these people out.
Exactly.
That's what I tell them.
Well, I would have asked them what they thought about the Tuatha Dé Danann and the Fernbalgs.
Yeah, exactly.
And turn that right around on them.
The thing about it is we won. That's it. So, I mean,
in the histories of the the books of invasions of Ireland, there were these people there called the Firbolgs, Firbolgs, mm-hmm. and they were taken off the land and supplanted by the Tuatha Dé Danann, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they came and were overtaken by the Malaysians later on, and that's, you know, so the Irish people today, according to their own our own folklore, are not the original inhabitants of the island, right?
Mm-hmm.
No,
that's
no,
what I would ask.
Unfortunately, but we are liberal. And we are white. So, as far as I'm concerned, that's all that matters, you know? But we have a really rich history, and anybody who wants to read up on white history should start with Ireland, because it's just the most fascinating shit you'll ever read.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, anybody who go on.
I think that the thing about it is we need to all stick together, whether you're British or English or Irish or German or Scandinavian or Icelandic or España. I think all the white people better unite together under, you know, because all of our fathers were under a cloud that came out of Egypt, and we need to start sticking together, just like these Jews stick together and everything like that. We need to stick together.
Exactly, man. I've been talking to a Spanish guy called Carlos Lopez, and he's been talking to me for a while now, about a month, and I recently brought up the question of race, and he said he really wants to keep his heritage in Latino countries. You know, he's proper Spanish. You know, he's not a stick. You know, and his mother and him, they live in the Panama region of South America.
Yes.
And so he's moving to Spain. Yeah, and he's moving to the UK. So I see win-win here. You know.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot
of
British.
I don't know how you feel about pure Spanish people. I don't know.
Well, I've been to Spain, and I've seen mixed Spanish, and I've seen the pure-blooded Spanish, and they look just like Scandinavians.
So they're up there.
We were up the coast of Brava, pretty close to the French border there, and Pyrenees Mountains, I think it is. I remember this one town we were in, and I saw a group. I thought they were Swedish. They were tall, blonde, blue eyes, and when I got close, they were talking Spanish. And I thought, oh my, oh maybe they, you know, they, geez, they, I heard the Swedes know like two or three different languages, and I found out that this, they were Spanish. You know, it's like,
exactly, right, exactly.
You know, I just thought, well, that's right, because, you know, Spanish are white.
Exactly. That's why I don't understand a lot of white nationalists who dismiss the Spanish as,
well, they're talking about Mexicans.
Because they were overrun by the Moors, the French.
That's right. Yes.
And so they are not a pure race in many respects.
Well, no, they're not. But for the most part, I would say at least 70% is as white as what, you know, can be.
I would say it's the other way around. From my experience traveling there, and the people, Spaniards I've met over here, very, very few, although there are white, you know, whites, I would say the majority are no longer white. They don't have white skin, the majority.
Oh, Tilla, yes. She's from Spain. She's listening here, too. She lives outside of Madrid.
She'll know what the percentage is, and she'll know about the history.
Arabic and Spanish is not that much.
Well, I lived there for 3 years, and I can tell you right now that at least 60% are pure white European, and that's really all I've got to say on the matter. I'm going to open the door for the girlfriend, because she's 111. Oh.
Yeah. Well, I was in Spain, too, during both the months of August. You see a lot of the Spanish people, they're all on vacation then. And I've been to Mexico many, many times in Mexico, and I've been to Spain twice, and there's a big difference. And you don't
there's
call
a massive one thing, difference.
You don't call a Spaniard. You don't call a Spaniard a Mexican either. You get yourself beat up.
Oh yeah, man, you'll get yourself beaten up. Jesus Christ,
yeah.
They fucking hate Mexicans so much. They really, really, really hate Mexicans.
Well, I mean, there's no difference.
Yeah, when they kicked the Jews out of Spain, didn't they kick the Moors out with them?
Yes. Yeah, that's what they did in 1492. They all went.
Well, in southern Spain, they could only kick out the leadership and the political leadership. They really couldn't kick out the Moorish blood unless they denuded the population.
Yeah.
Well, they ran the out of Spain. That great Queen Isabella rode on horseback, 6 months pregnant, rallying the Spanish to fight against the Moors. It's quite a woman. But I like Spain.
The closest I got to Spain was Gibraltar.
Yeah, I've been there. Oh, did you go up on the mountain there with the monkeys? Or go
yeah,
up on the
those monkeys are mean.
Yeah, I mean, they steal everything off you. If you got glasses on, they grab your glasses, they grab your camera. Before we got off the bus there, we traveled there in 2004, took all the kids down there and everything. And the bus driver says, now you make sure that you have nothing they can grab. And make sure you don't have food inside your, you know, the ladies don't have food inside your wallets, or you don't have food inside your pockets. And, you know, just be careful. Well, anyway, we were walking down the little ramp there to go on the platform to look out over off the Gibraltar there, off the rock. And this big baboon came up. I'm pretty sure they're baboons. Oh, there might not be bad ones. I don't know, but they're a pretty big monkey. He ran up the what was like a little wall there, and he grabbed this little girl's hat. She just started crying like crazy. And this monkey, he's coming towards us, and there was this big guy in front of us, and he just reached out and grabbed the hat off the monkey, and the monkey's spinning around and made this noise at him, you know. The guy said, "Hey, you don't steal a little girl's hat." And gave her hat back. But man, they grab everything, and they're all over you, too, especially if you start feeding them.
Well, they're all over this country, too.
Yeah, and they stand up on 2 feet. Oh, it's funny. My wife had little, she had 2 little babies, and the mother sitting on her head, and I got a picture of it. But, quite a place, Gibraltar. The Rock. And then my wife and I went across the water and went over to Tangier over in Morocco for a tour. It was really interesting, amazing. You didn't see any women walking the streets, Tangier.
Is that a Muslim country?
Muslim.
Yes, yes.
That's why they raped. That's why they raped white women in Europe, because they feel that they don't deserve to be walking the streets. They don't belong alone in the streets. So they're forcing their culture on us through violence.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what was interesting, Bill, in that comment by Mir Kohane, you know, the rabbi? He said that Arabs, he says, "I don't trust Arabs," he says, "because Arabs don't get along with each other. The Shiites fight with the Sunnis, and they fight with the Christians and all that." And he said,
and
they fight with the Jews. He said, "So there's no way that we could live with them." But yet, they flood our countries with these people, and we're supposed to live with them, and we're not supposed to say a word about it because we're racist, see? But it's okay for these Jews to pop off like that, and I think, you know, it's time for us to sound off. People got to sound off about it.
Long past time for us to sound off.
Yeah. Over here, it's just like a new thing coming. I mean, people are standing there like, looking. I see people when they see a nigger go by or something, they stand there, especially the elderly people, and they stand there and they look like, you know, this is not usual. This is not natural. This is not a natural scene here now. See? And I saw all this coming way back in 96, 97, the posters with the black models. First they started with the black women, you know, models, and then the black men, and then here and there you'll see a white girl with a black guy. That's all conditioning. So I seen it when I was younger, when I was living in L.A., the same thing, before they bust us and all. They bust all the blacks up to our schools and stuff like that, and all the great athletes, black athletes. So...
Well, you know something, if in any particular town white girls get raped just because they're walking the streets alone, that then and white men aren't doing anything about that to prevent it, well then, that they're getting what they deserve.
Well,
that's just the sad truth.
See, but over here, it's a natural thing to girls walk at night and coming home from the pub. I think if women want to, you know, they're going to come home or something like that, and if they
that's my point, is that white men aren't defending them.
No, but it'd be a different story over here. I hope so.
I'd be walking the street tonight looking for a Muslim.
Yeah.
But that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
And they're not. They're not doing that. They're letting the Muslims have the run of them.
I just think the thing about it is, the reason why it doesn't happen here yet, like in England, is because there's not enough of them. But just like the other day, when those two devils passed in front of me, I don't know how else to explain these people. They are so black, it's like, I don't know. There must be a Bututu tribe or something like that they just integrated in here. But, you know, they crossed the street, and I didn't even have to look around, because I know. It wasn't me intimidated. There was a couple white girls coming, young girls, 15 years old. They had to go over there and walk past them, you know. But I'm telling you, that they, I think it's going to be a different story here in Northern Ireland compared to England. If they rape any of these girls here, these people will take it upon themselves to take care of their business. They won't call the police. It's not going to be forensics. These people will disappear. They'll firebomb their houses, just like when they tried to build that mosque up. Just like when they tried to do, and they tried to build that mosque over there in Portadown a few years back. And the minister said, "You're not going to build a mosque in this town. That's it." And it wasn't, you know, a couple of days later, firebombs, you know, pretty soon the Muslims moved out. They just thought maybe they better go back to England. And that's what happened. And they had the minister on TV with the, what do you call him, the Imam or whatever they call the Muslim minister or whatever. I don't know what you call him.
Joe November.
Yeah, Joe November. You know, Cheeky Cheeky. The sheikh or whatever. They had him on there. And he said, "Well, we just want to come and practice our religion." And he said, "No, no, no." I was like cheering, "Yeah. This guy's got some guts, this white man." He said, "No, you won't, because Christians and Muslims have never got along in history and we never will. And you're not going to build a mosque in Portadown." So I'd say that was about 4 years ago that I saw that. So that was great.
Yeah, you can't build a Christian worship center in like Muslim countries. Why the hell should we allow them to build them here?
Well, the thing about it is that you got synagogues here. It's okay for the synagogue. I mean, that's just as worse.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, once these see, that's when I try to make the connection with these people over here. You got to see the connection here. The connection is to the synagogue. These people are not coming in our land because they're coming here as refugees. They're coming here because the Jews over on these islands have laid the foundation for these people to swarm in. You know, like Anita Kahane and Barbara Spector said, you know, that the white nations are going to be done away with and we're going to be multicultural. It's going to take a big effort. Barbara Spector says they're going to have to learn to be multicultural. And all of a sudden you see these black faces walking the streets. It's like, wow, she's right. But I don't see the people accepting it. I don't know any British people that go along with it. I don't know any Swedish people that like it. I don't think the Irish down south are too happy with the blacks down there like they were before, you know, 20 years ago when they felt so sorry for them. I don't think they feel sorry for them now.
Yeah, that hippie BS, let's all get along, multicultural coexistence BS.
Yeah, you know, I don't know, when I was younger, you know, I was so tied up and going to work and doing, I lived in a nice white area, and I just didn't, I guess because of when you get kids and stuff like that, you change. I don't know, it's just that so obvious now.
Well, you become more aware of what's going on in society because you want a future for your kids.
You know, and another thing too, Bill, is I remember a few times I got in discussions with black niggers, and these guys are niggers, he weren't even black, he was niggers, right in my face telling me, "You know what, Unky, why don't you go back to Europe where your people came from, you know, and all this stuff." The Mexicans tell me this. So I came back over here. And now I got these people coming walking on the streets here. I'm back in white homeland over here. Because my mother's side of the family, they all came from Ireland. And now you got these people here. Now what do we do? That's okay. The Indians don't want to be governed by the British or any white people, but yet they want to come over here and get on the benefits and sponge off the people. Anyway, I'm talking too much.
No, you're right. They threw us out of India, and then they come over here and want to live off the state.
Yes. Yeah. It's just like I mentioned before, my the GP up the street here, he and I talked, you know, and I said, what about these people coming in here? I said, what about these doctors and stuff? Because my niece was going to Queen's University, and she was telling me that a lot of those Indians, you know, there, and those Pakistanis are learning to be doctors and everything like that. And my doctor, my GP here, said that he doesn't like the fact that they get their education here on the assumption that they're going to go back to their country and help their people, and then they end up staying here. He says, and I don't agree with it. That's what my GP said. So it's affecting everybody. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it just hasn't, I mean, I know it's coming. I've seen it. And we're not on you're on an island here. You can't move 1,000 miles, and you can't move to South Plymouth, New York, you know.
And the very fact that we're on an island should have been protection against this invasion, shouldn't it?
Exactly. Exactly. You'd think that these white people, these leaders, would want to protect their families and stuff. I mean, how can they look at each other in their face over there in England there, in Parliament and the House of Lords and all that, with these kids getting raped, or the young girls and people getting murdered like crazy over there now?
There's nothing touch with reality.
No, huh? I always said these people are like the red carpet people. You know, they don't even, their feet don't even touch the ground, you know, like that Schumer and all those, like Kennedys were, you know, Ted Kennedy and all them. These people don't even, they're not even touched with reality. They live in a whole different world than we do. Maybe we should all go to Iceland.
Hey, you got enough room in your house, Ice?
You got polar bears over there, don't you? Yeah, but I don't care. Is it all white old people's home? Yeah, that's all right. No polar bears. Oh, that's good. Okay, I'll go there. Ah. Yeah. But that's what prevented me from getting a job. We were up on the North Slope one time. Went for a job interview in 1984, and... And then you're supposed to go out and check the well heads and all this stuff, you know, the wells. And, you know, it's nighttime up there half of the year, and half of the year it's light. But they got polar bears up by the Arctic. It's up by the Arctic Circle, Prudhoe Bay. And they got polar bears there. And you're not, you're given, all you're given when you first start working there is a flashlight and a radio. And you got a truck. I just don't know. My bad luck here is I run into a polar bear or something like that. They ran into them up there, here and there. So, oh boy. Well, have we solved the problems of all the world here? Or?
No. Looks like Bill's got a busy day today, huh?
I always have a busy day. Or is it 5?
Have you got your special evening, your class tonight?
Yeah, I have a Bible study tonight.
Right.
Is that right, Bill?
Every Thursday night.
Get out! Sorry, folks.
Oh.
It's a dog.
Now, your Bible study is over the internet, right? Or is it, do you have people coming?
Well, it's on Skype. It's on Skype.
What is Skype? I'm sorry to ask, but I just started hearing about Skype. Is that where you have...
I'm probably getting rid of it because Microsoft just bought it, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's peer-to-peer software that allows people to communicate directly over the internet.
Now, that's just... Go ahead, sorry.
Because it's a group of people in one room, TeamSpeak isn't really meant for that type of environment, right?
Right.
But Skype works pretty good.
Mm.
And it's free.
Right.
It is?
Well, it's free for now because Bill Gates just bought it. And I might be dumping my Skype number soon.
Mm-hmm. He is a Jew, isn't he? Or he's not a Jew?
Well, if he's not a Jew, he missed a damn good opportunity. His father's a lawyer. That's four strikes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how he's not a Jew.
Yeah.
It might be possible, but I believe that he probably is.
Yeah, probably is, because he just seems like, you know, a lot of times the white men that are wealthy just don't blend in that much. I mean, even Donald Trump now, you know, he's going to run for president, and now he's like, now he's not going to do it. And, you know, like Mel Gibson, as we say, you know, they just, some of these guys, the Jews just melt right in. They sit right in. They just.
Well, Bill Gates is definitely a Jew between the ears. Even if he's not a Jew in his genes, he's a Jew between the ears. There's no doubt about that. He's done everything evil. He started a $1 billion scholarship program for Negroes only. If a wealthy white man did that for whites only, there would be an uproar.
Right.
Vaccination programs to depopulate certain countries.
Yeah, right. He actually stated, it's on the Saxon Messenger, the video.
Mm-hmm.
He actually stated that vaccination programs are going to be used to reduce the Earth's population.
Yeah, Rockefeller said that too, David Rockefeller, and it's on YouTube, I believe, said the same thing, and so did Obama.
That's a hate crime. That's contrary to the United Nations. Again, the UN. What is it? The genocide thing, right? I mean, all these people. If you're a Jew, you don't have to pay attention to that.
Right.
If you're a white man and said those things, they'd have you on trial in The Hague.
Oh yeah, right now.
It's incredibly hypocritical.
Well, that's why I was pointing out about this Miracle Hayne. All the things he said, I think it's people should let's see if I can get that site. But it's good for new people to listen to watch this, and you'll see right out of the devil's mouth how they are and what they believe in, and the hatred you have towards the white Christian people. So, you know, it's all about education.
Not like Yahweh's genocide program.
Yes. Let me see if I can find this. Believe me. Wow.
Danny, I think you're attempting to speak Yiddish, right?
Yes. Boy, they, that's the 3 years I lived up in the Fairfax district. I always wanted to run down the street and knock one of those big babushkas off their earth. I don't know what you call them. The big old hats, you know?
The babushka is the headscarf thing.
Yeah, that's the headscarf.
Polish peasants wear, right?
But they used to, they had these rabbis, and they would stand right on the corner with these big old head things. Well, you know what I'm talking about. You've seen them before, I'm sure, in New York. I would just love to run down the street and knock one off one time. Just to, you know, what else is there to do? It just reminded me how Christ Yahshua said how they like to stand on the, you know, in the marketplace and out there in front of everybody and act like they're just so great. It's exactly the way they are 2,000 years later. Same people.
Yep. Yeah, I'll probably be talking about that a little tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 6.
Yeah, 60 generations in the same bond of Satan seed.
Right, I saw a whole lot of Yiddish has gotten into our English language through the media, through Hollywood, through the radio, and we don't even realize how much Yiddish we speak sometimes.
Oh yes,
it's really sad.
Yep, you're right about that. And black too. The black, we've been Africanized, like my dad would always say, you know.
All that hip hop stuff, they just got it constantly running in all the old merchant shops and all this
stuff. Mm-hmm. Oh, here it is. I got it.
Crazy.
Oopsie. Sorry, guys. There we go.
What are you looking for?
I'm looking for Rabbi Miracle Haynes. There it is.
I decided not to post it. I might cut out parts of it, but I decided not to post it. It's too long.
It's about 30 minutes. But, I mean, I think myself, it's good for people to, especially new people, to see what these people are about. And there's nothing wrong, Bill, with sitting there looking at Jewish people's faces and their encyclopedias and studying what they look like. There we go. Yep. But we win in the end, so.
Well, that's certain. The outcome is absolutely certain.
I can't wait. And I just pray that he keeps me on this earth. I want to be here when he comes. I want to see him run into the rocks. Running to hide themselves. No, I believe that they'll try to fight the Israelis over there. They'll probably try to shoot at Yahshua when the armies come. They'll try to fight him for a while. They will.
Well, Icelanders, you know, putting these references into these Jewish last names, but in truth, the Jews didn't have last names until the time of Napoleon, and then they took these pious sounding last names upon themselves. That there is absolutely no way that any of them can trace these last names back to the original Hebrew, right?
to the people of the Old Testament.
It depends on where they move into, Bill. Whatever peoples, the white host, whatever nations I'm in, and they absorb into that type of society, right, yet keeping their, excuse me, keeping their religion and, you know, and their Talmud beliefs. But yet, you know, just like in anywhere they go, they, you know, they absorb in and shave the beards and, you know, and work right in with the white men, whether Swedish, German, Irish. You know, that's what they do. That's why they
survive. Well, it's a shame that we ever let them take our last names. That they should only be allowed to have one last name, Jew. That's it. Period. It should be tattooed on their foreheads.
Yeah, they should be wearing a star. Well, they should be just taken out of this planet. They should be on the shuttle bus.
Well, that's shot
straight up on Mars.
I mean, that's
not that hard,
only, only he could do that. I mean, we all wait. Yeah, well, Adolf Hitler tried, and he failed. And if he failed with 95% of the great Germanic people behind him, then we sure as hell aren't going to get anywhere, right?
Yeah.
Who can fight with the beast?
Yep, that's it, you know.
Well, that's it, actually. That's what it boils down to, is only God can do it.
Right.
And he will.
I just want to be here when it happens. Isn't that right, Tia?
And it will be perfect.
I want to see them all running. They're all heading out of New York and London. Oy vey! Oy vey! That's what Swifties used to say, yelling, oy, 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 oy!
Well, I'm going to wrap this up. I mean, it's unless anybody has anything pressing, and look forward to seeing you all here in two weeks, right?
Pretty good, pretty good night tonight. So I didn't mean to talk so much, but
well, that's okay. Somebody has to talk. Somebody has to do it.
It's just great talking with everybody that thinks the way you do. So,
well, thanks for being here.
Yeah.
And
thanks for
Bill
for hosting.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Praise Yahweh. Good night, everybody.
Good night,
Tia. Good night. Good night. Good night, everybody. Good night, Danny.
Good night.
Yeah. Good night, everybody.
I'm in.